Excuse the delay in turning on the microphone. I'm not yet familiar with the resurrection microphones. Which puts me in mind of a priest friend of mine. He stood before the congregation one Sunday, tapping his portable microphone, and he said, "There's something wrong with this microphone." And all the good Catholics responded, "And also with you." Wow. What a month this has been. Every time I turn on the television, there's another news report of domestic or international turmoil. How do you deal with all this? What can you do about it? How do you respond to it? How do you react to all this international and domestic turmoil that is going on week after week? And for that matter, how do you deal with turmoil in general? Not just the external turmoil, such as reports of international terrorism. How about the internal turmoil that affects your life individually? The turmoil that impacts your personal life. What do you do about that? How do you deal with it? What do you have to do just to get through it? Consider this. When I was a little boy, I knew when I would be happy. And the reason I knew it was because the adults told me when that would happen. The adults said that I would be happy when I start school. So I started school. Well, after I was in school for a little while, the teachers began to tell me when I would be happy. The teacher said I'd be happy when I graduated. All right, so I went through grade school, middle school, high school, and I graduated. But by then, nobody had to tell me anything. I was a teenager. I knew when I would be happy. And I said, "Now I will be happy if I can just join the Navy." So I joined the Navy. I was assigned to the United States Naval Recruit Training Command at Bainbridge, Maryland. After about 45 minutes into my boot camp, I said to myself, "My God, what have I done?" And I knew when I'd be happy if I could just get out of the Navy. So I served my hitch, and I get out of the Navy. Then I said, "Now I will be happy if I can meet a nice girl, fall in love, get married, settle down." And isn't that the way it is with most young people? They know they'll be happy when they go to school, when they graduate, when they complete their university studies, when they start their new career, when they get married. And then what do they say? "Now we will be happy if we can just have children." So they have children. And then they know when they'll be happy, we raise these kids and get them out of the house. So the children grow up, the children leave home, and then they say, "Now we will be happy if only the children will have children." And the children have children. Then they say, "Now we'll be happy when we retire." Then they retire. And they say, "Is that all there is? Let me ask you a question. Are you happy? And if you're not, when are you going to be?" The answer to that question begins with a thorough understanding of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, what I'm about to tell you can get just a little convoluted if you don't follow it carefully, closely. Jesus Christ did not have to die on the cross. He did not have to be born of a virgin. He did not have to be raised by Mary and Joseph through childhood, adolescence, into adulthood. He did not have to be prosecuted, persecuted, and executed. After all, he was the third person of the Blessed Trinity. He was God. I presume that means he could do anything he wanted to. I suppose he could have elected, decided to come to earth as a fully grown, fully developed adult human being. He could have looked around, snapped his fingers, said, "You're all saved," and went back to heaven. And your salvation would have been just as assured as it is by his death on the cross. We call this theistic value. In other words, the snapping of Jesus Christ's fingers would have been the snapping of divine fingers. Had he done that, one day, Someone like me might stand in front of some of you, someone like you, and I might say, be happy, don't be anxious, don't be worried. And you might think, or you might react this way. What do you mean, be happy? I'm not happy. This is a difficult life. My spouse wants a divorce. My kids are on drugs. My business is failing. This is a difficult life. I've been betrayed by my friends, let down, stabbed in the back. What do you mean, be happy? No, I'm not happy. And then I might say, well, don't you know, God loves you. And you might say, well, you know, yes, you bet. If I could just believe that, if I could believe that God loves me, if I could believe that God loves me, if I could believe that God loves me, wherever you want to put that emphasis, if I could believe that, yes, I would be happy. And then you might say, how do I know God loves me? What did he do? What did God do to show me that he loves me? Unfortunately, I would have to say, he snapped his fingers for you. And it would be understandable if your reaction was, big deal. Yeah, he must have really loved me. He snapped his fingers. But of course, that did not happen. So if one day someone like me stands in front of someone like you and says, don't worry, don't be anxious, be happy. And if you should respond, no, I'm not happy, tough life, spouse wants a divorce, kids on drugs, I've been betrayed, let down, stabbed in the back, of course I'm not happy, and I might say, God loves you, and you might say, well, yes, if I could believe that, if I could truly believe God loved me, I would be happy. So tell me, what did God do to show me he loves me? What did he do so that I know that he loves me? Where is it? 1, 2, 3. Those of you who can see it, please gaze for a moment at the third from the front, the third stained glass window, the crucifixion. Just gaze at that for a second. He died. He died. Let me ask you this. Is there anyone in the church tonight that can tell me one thing that Jesus Christ could have done differently that would have more eloquently expressed his love for you? He died. What more could he do? What more do you want? So there's no question, no question, God loves you. God is in love with you. Now when somebody is in love, what do they want for the person they're in love with? They want that person to be happy. Doesn't it follow that if God is in love with you and therefore wants you to be happy, and is God, doesn't it make sense that he's already given you everything you need to be happy? He's given you your mind, your personality, your strengths, your giftedness, your talents. You have to use them. For example, if you have a personal problem right now, there is no problem that does not have a solution. In your mind, a precious gift from God is the strongest search engine in existence, and it is designed to do only one thing: find solutions, solve problems. But you have to use it. You can't just say, dear God, please help me, and then brush your hands and say, okay, that's it, now it's all up to God. I'll wait for the clap of thunder and a flash of lightning and God will do it for me. It's not the way it works. Let me tell you the story of Nikki. Nikki lived in South Florida. And Nikki read the scripture that I just read to you a moment ago. And Nikki decided that he would like to win the Florida lottery. So he thought, well, what I'll do is I'll pray for it. So he prayed, dear God, please let me win the Florida lottery. Nothing happened. So he prayed again, dear God, please let me win the Florida lottery. Nothing happened. The next day he prayed, and the next day, Lord God, help me to win the lottery, day after day. Finally, one day, God, in a fit of divine annoyance, shouted back to Nikki. He said, Nikki, meet me halfway. Buy a ticket. St. Paul kind of summed this all up very succinctly. Faith without works is useless. So let me ask you this question again. Are you happy? And if you're not, when are you going to be? What will it take? Well, I thought about that for you. And I thought, well, maybe it's financial security that you're waiting for before you can be happy. Because we know that wealthy people are indeed happy people. course, we also know there are wealthy people who are unhappy. And while it's true there are poor people who are unhappy, it is just as true there are poor people who are happy. So it's not wealth. How about good health? Maybe your health has declined and you're waiting for your health to be restored before you can be happy. Because healthy people are indeed happy people. But of course, there are some healthy people who are unhappy. And while there are sick people who are unhappy, it is just as true there are sick people who are happy. So it's not health. How about celebrity? I mean, we know celebrities are extremely happy, but there are also celebrities who are miserable. Look, if it's not wealth, and it's not health, and it's not celebrity, what is it? Happiness is a choice. Every day when you get up, you get to make a choice. You can choose to be happy, or you can choose to be unhappy, but it will be your choice. If you live long enough, one day you are going to be old and sick. Now, when that happens, you can be old, sick, and happy, or you can be old, sick, and unhappy, but that will be your choice. So let me ask you this question for the last time. Are you happy now? And if you're not, when are you going to be? May I respectfully suggest that the only time you have in which you can be happy is in the only time you have. And the only time you have is now. You don't have a few minutes from now when Mass is over that hasn't arrived yet. You don't have next week, you don't have next month, you don't have next year, all you got is right now. Yesterday is gone forever. No regrets, it no longer exists. And tomorrow, look, whether it's an international terrorist attack, or a 17-car pileup on the interstate, or a cardiac arrest, if any of those unexpected events should occur in your life, you're dead. Tomorrow exists only in your mind as a hope. The only time you have is now. Now I want to tell you something to help get you started with all this. I'm going to tell you something now that will help you to get started to be happy. And what I'm going to tell you is this. Right now, I'm all done.